We are going to be reading this morning and from the book of Daniel. If you would turn to the book of Daniel, the third chapter. The somewhat familiar story to many of you about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and the fiery furnace. And while you're finding your place there again, Daniel chapter 3, just want to go back a little bit. I'm going to briefly talk about what happened in the first two chapters, how we get to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the furnace. We first have Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, taking over Jerusalem. And he kidnapped many people from Jerusalem, including among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, the chief official gave them new names. Daniel became Belteshazzar, and the other three became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so we have them in Babylon, and the king has a plan for all these young men. It's not just these four. He has a plan for all these young men, and he wants them to be to be made Babylonians. And so he wants them to eat and drink, and he sets some officials over them to make them become Babylonian and to kind of fatten them up and ready them for these tasks that he has for them. And Daniel, and this is a key component to the story we're going to get to in a few minutes, Daniel goes to the head of this group and says, "We can't do that. We would be defiling ourselves before our God if we took part in those foods and drinks, the things that you do here in Babylon." And the guy liked him, but he said, "You know, if I don't make you do that, the king will take my head." And so Daniel says, "Give us 10 days to eat just the vegetables and drink just the water. And if after 10 days you test us and see how we fare." And after 10 days, they were in better shape and looked better and were more fit than all the rest of the young men that were there. And so Daniel found favor. But Daniel showed an example to his three friends of honoring God in the face of some potential persecution. Then we would go through and through the next couple of chapters, and Nebuchadnezzar has some dreams and he can't figure out what they mean. He calls for his astrologers and magicians. The word they would use would be magi. They can't figure out what the dreams mean. But Daniel can. And so they bring Daniel before the king, and he interprets the dream, and the king is impressed, and he praises Daniel's God, and he raises Daniel up into a position of authority over the Magi. He became chief of the Magi. And there is a time later on, some 500 years later, when his influence over the Magi would leave another group of Magi who knew the scriptures and were seeking the skies for a sign of the Savior. But more immediately in this time, the impact that Daniel had was asked that his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, also be given some positions of authority, and they were. Probably to the dismay of some of those born Babylonian, that these three immigrants were given this position, or these positions. And so the king, who had praised Daniel's God but did not accept Daniel's God, ends up here in chapter 3, lifting himself up. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the declaration of the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, harp, and pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. And we see the jealousy pop up here. But there are some Jews you set up over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, Weren't there 3 men? Weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, Certainly, O king. He said, Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. The robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is an amazing story. An amazing story. Of 3 men who had been discipled by their friend Daniel, had been shown the way to lean on God even in the face of persecution. We have to remember that part, that they were raised up to be the men who they were called to be. And when given the opportunity to save their own lives by denouncing their God and worshiping a false God. They chose the option of potential death rather than deny their God. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't too happy with this, and he had the furnace fired up. 7 times it says hotter than usual. So hot that those attending them, those dragging them in, and he had the biggest, strongest guys in the army come and do this to tie them up and to bound them and drag them down. And the fires leapt up and killed those soldiers. And the 3 fell into the furnace. And what we say next is an image of salvation, an image of our Savior. For what Nebuchadnezzar said looks like a son of the gods, for he had no way to know who it was Christ in the furnace. Some versions of the Bible will actually say the Son of God in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, protecting them from the flames, protecting them from the fire. And the evidence so clear that not even a thread was singed. There was no smell of fire on them. The fire never even touched them. And then when they came out and confronted by the king, he may not have been able to explain it well, but he knew what he had seen. He had seen an act of an almighty God. Not an act of some statue he built out of gold. Not some action of his own hand, which he had predicted would be greater than any God could intercede or interfere with. He saw an action of the living, the almighty Jehovah God. Many things happened because of this. Nebuchadnezzar did not turn around completely at this point. He stood up and fell down a few more times. Eventually, he lost his earthly kingdom. But when he lost his earthly kingdom, he found his heavenly one. He had to lose everything here to gain that. But this was a step. Daniel's interpretation of the dream was the first step. This amazing thing that he saw was the next step. And Nebuchadnezzar's life was eventually changed. We accepted the God of heaven. Another thing that said this kept the religion of the Israelites alive, so that the time would come when they would come out of Babylon. The stories, the truth of God Almighty came with them. And so here we have some 500 years before the birth of Christ. We see that 3 who chose to defend their God and not deny Him, to not denounce Him, to not blaspheme Him, came under the protection of their Savior who brought them forth out of the furnace. And there's a story in here for us as well. There is not always the promise of deliverance from persecution in this life. Some who are dragged into persecution lose their lives. And we can read example after example in the Bible, such as Stephen, who stood up for Jesus and was stoned to death. Or we can read into our history, Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Nazi Germany, who stood against Hitler for the name of Christ and was hung and died. And then when we were talking about the event that took place in Colorado this week, of course, my mind, I'm sure not the only one, raced back to the incident at Columbine High School. And the young girl, I believe her name was Cassie, who was mocked by one of the gunmen and asked if she believed in Jesus as she knelt there praying, and he squeezed the trigger. And she died. So some go into the furnace, and don't come out on the other side in this life. But they don't go into the furnace alone. And when they come out on the true other side, they're in a much better place than where they left. This world is still full of people who would persecute Christ. Afghanistan, Algeria, Azerbaijan, Bangladesh, Belarus, Bhutan, Brunei, Burma, Chiapas, Mexico, China, Colombia, Comoros, Cuba, Egypt, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Gaza and the West Bank, India, Indonesia, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Kuwait, Kyrgyzstan, Laos, Lebanon, Libya, Malaysia, Maldives, Bandango, the Philippines, Martinique, Morocco, Nepal, Nigeria, North Korea, Oman, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Sri Lanka, Sudan, Syria, Tajikistan, Tibet, Tunisia, Turkey, Turkmenistan, United Arab Emirates, Uzbekistan, Vietnam, Yemen, and all those countries, people are in this moment, this morning, imprisoned for speaking the name of Jesus, persecuted for speaking the name of Jesus. And let us always keep in prayer those who live. We complain often and sometimes rightly so about infringement upon our rights in this country, but let us remember those who are truly being persecuted around the world, who face that furnace daily and bravely. But as we pray for them, let us be assured that they are not in those places alone. The darkest places, they are never alone. The light of Christ is there. But even in this country, we face the furnaces of our own. We are daily, sometimes multiple times each day, given opportunities to deny God and to worship something else. The words may not be that specific, but each day, or most days, if you're out in public at least, you're given the opportunity to deny your God. And while we may not be facing a king who wishes to throw us in a literal furnace, the relationship between us and God and our reaction is the same thing. Anytime, something that we might think is light as a joke, but something that's inappropriate and would blaspheme God, and we make a decision how we respond to that. Do we laugh and go along? Do we remain neutral and try not to do anything? Or do we say something about who our God is and why that's not funny to us? And maybe we face in that moment a furnace of ridicule or laughter or not being one of the cool guys. But even if you do, you don't face it alone. And what might happen is, you might come out of that ridicule. You might gain respect from that other person who may see something of God then or down the road. And that might be a step in calling that person into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or they may deride you forever. But you're not alone. For into that furnace comes the Son of God to walk with you. Anytime you're given the opportunity for a promotion that requires you to turn your head the other way and let something slip, it's an opportunity to deny God and accept something else in its place. Anytime we allow wrongs to go unrighted in this world when we have some measure of control over them, something we can do about them in the name of Jesus, and we don't do it, we are denying our God. But if we do something about it, we may face a furnace. Again, not a literal furnace, but we may face a furnace. And in that furnace might be the lack of a promotion, the lack of some position, the loss of a job. But you won't go through it alone. For when you stand up for Jesus, He walks into that furnace with you. And what you have on the other side, whether you come out of it in the flesh or not, what you have in eternity is far more excellent compared to any reward that would come from the hands of a man. So we need to daily remember everything we do, everything we watch, everything we say, everything we listen to gives us an opportunity to stand up for God or to accept something else. Had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knelt down before that golden idol, they would never have entered the furnace. But had they not entered the furnace, they never would have stood face to face in this life with Jesus. And in their case, a king maybe never would have been saved. We don't know what comes on the other side, but we know that we're called into obedience. And let's not neglect the discipleship portion of this message. They knew what to do because the one that came before them that loved them and cared for them showed them what to do. Daniel showed them what to do when they very first came into Babylon. How good that food must have looked. They've been kidnapped and dragged how far from their own land. How good that food must have looked. Certainly, anyone would understand why they would have taken whatever had been offered to them, let alone the choicest foods of the king. But Daniel did what was right in the sight of God. And he showed those that were with him. And at Three Stones Church, we talk about those three stones, right? Worship, evangelism, and discipleship. Discipleship begins with living rightly and then showing someone else how to. And though we don't see that word in Scripture until the New Testament, we know that what Daniel did was to disciple those three young men. Daniel was probably about 15 when they were taken into Babylon. And yet, he was a mature man of God. And because they saw what was right to do, they did what was right. And we are charged to do the same thing, to do what is right and to show others what is right to do. And in doing so, you may face the furnace. And it may, again, it may come in the form of ridicule or the loss of a position, the loss of standing, the loss of some esteem you have from anyone else. But you know what? It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of you because Jesus loves you. Jesus holds you above all. You're the apple of God's eye. He sent His Son to die for you. There's no higher esteem to be held in than that. But we need to know that we face in our lives, right here, where we live, we face those kind of persecutions. And they're not threats on our life. But they are threats on our faith. And let us show ourselves as righteous followers of Jesus Christ by doing the right thing and showing others how to live. What happens on the other side, only God knows. But the results of an obedient life are tremendous. I mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know what would have happened had he lived. But I know what happened because of his death. Untold thousands of people have been inspired and motivated and moved by his stories. His book, The Cost of Discipleship. And have discipled others in face of what they have learned from him. His work has been eternal. Not even in his death, but directly because of his death. We have brothers and sisters around the world that are facing physical persecution. And let us keep them in prayer. We should pray daily for the persecuted church around the world. I saw in one of the slides last night that we were at Jim Dorado's celebration, that event that they had, and some guy had ridden his bike 200 miles to be there. Can you imagine the lengths some of our brothers and sisters go to be in fellowship, to be in worship? In India, where they encourage them not to build buildings because they're too easy to find then. But also remember that here, you have opportunity day after day to stand up for Jesus and be amazed by what happens in your obedience. Battle after battle after battle may appear to be lost, but the victory for the war is guaranteed, indeed already won. It had to be pretty scary getting thrown into the furnace. It's pretty rough getting laughed at. For young people in the room, there's some situations that you go through. High school and in college, you're faced with things that you know God doesn't approve of. You have to make those decisions. But it's not just a decision about what's taking place in the moment. It is a decision about standing up for God. And you will be ridiculed for making those decisions. You'll lose those battles. But you're going to win the war. The victory is assured, indeed, it's already won.